He came that you might be blessed. He did. He said you can have life and life more abundant. Hallelujah. And your life consists of the physical as well as the spiritual. Hallelujah. But praise the Lord. How many know there is blessing? He's already blessed you. And because he's blessed you, you can give. Amen. And we use our faith. We say, Lord, thank you. Thank you that I can give a portion of what I have back to you. Amen. And if you can't, then we can ask him. We can believe God. I've said this before. We can each believe God. What are you going to believe God for this week, Lord? I want to give more money. We can say, Lord, I need something. And he'll cause a way. He'll make a way for you to get it. Amen. He'll give seed to the sower. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I know money is not really the seed. The word of God is the seed. We've got to remember that. See? Money doesn't have any power in itself to multiply. Now, when God comes on it, it can. Amen. But how many know it's the word of God that produces the result. Amen. When we speak the word of God. For God so loved the world, he gave. Now he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life, or everlasting life, really. We have, see, you and I, we have a beginning, don't we? God didn't have a beginning. Jesus, you know, came, we have a beginning, but we have no end. Amen. All of us were born. At some point, you were born into the earth through your mom and daddy's decision. They got together somehow. Hallelujah. It doesn't really matter how it was or what it was. And why some people come together, I don't know. I don't have all those answers, but hallelujah. Praise the Lord. When we get to heaven, I'm sure we'll know. But that's what happens. Amen. We come, we have an existence at the, you know, we come into the world with an existence. But when we're born again, we have no end. When we receive God as our Father, see, we come into a new species. We're not the same old species of Adam. We have a body like Adam. But how many know the inside man was changed? Amen. And you were filled with God himself. Jesus said, the very glory of God lives in you. You have the glory of God in you. That means you can be like him. That means you can do things that he does. Amen. We can let him out, and the glory of God can change things about you. That's why when you speak, your authority changes things. When you speak what God says, your authority begins to change some things. Hallelujah. Amen. So if you do have any trouble in your money, we can speak to that. Amen. God supplies all my need. My God. I don't know about your God, but my God supplies every need according to his riches in glory. Not my ability in the earth, but his riches in glory. Amen. Hallelujah. And we got to remember, he's a giver. And because he gave, most of us already know. Everybody in here, I say it all the time, you want to give more than you already do. If you love God, right? We all do. We want to give more. Now, I mean, there may be somebody that's given a whole lot, so I don't know. I have no earthly idea. I don't try to keep track of who gives what. But praise God, we know that he's faithful and that God is a giver and he won't withhold from you. Not because you gave something this offering. I don't care if you give here or you don't. But because he loves you. He gave Jesus. He's already given his gift. And when we receive his gift, then we want to walk like him. We become more like him. And God is a giver. Amen. God will give you whatever you need. You said, well, I need, you know. Now, don't get me wrong. There's some fleshly things that he's not going to give you. He's not going to give you sister so-and-so's husband or brother so-and-so's wife. It ain't going to happen. Well, I had my eyes on him first. Well, you can confess and believe. If they don't want to marry you, it ain't going to happen. Hallelujah. It was good anyhow. That's the truth. Hey, I'm telling you, I've seen a lot of things in my lifetime, even in the church. I remember one particular single minister and two or three ladies came in wedding dresses. Oh, Lord, they're going to marry him. Well, none of them married him. Hallelujah. You did finally get married, but it wasn't to any of them. Hallelujah. How many know God has a way? He'll bring about his desires when we yield to him. I'm so proud of all of you. God, I'm just telling you, when he says this, for God so loved, that word love even goes beyond that. He said it's agapeo, which is really greater or there with agape, but it means where he loves, he so prized you. He looked at the world and he prized mankind. He so loved you that he gave his only son. That is awesome to me. That is awesome to me. He considers it a prize. He says, oh, look what I got. I got me some sons and daughters that were born of my spirit. Glory to God. Look who you are. Yes. Put your head up high. I want it up high today. You're sons of God, daughters of the living King, joint heirs with Jesus, more than conquerors. Amen. You're not bound any longer by sin. The enemy cannot keep trampling over you. If he's trying to stop you, he cannot stop you if you don't quit. If you keep trusting him and holding forth the word of God, it will never fail. Thank you. Thank you very much. They're telling me to come back over so you guys can see me. Hallelujah. They're helping me. Thank you. I'm doing my best. See, I got my box, but I've got to stay in it. Now everybody moved over there. Now I'm keep moving that way. So we might have to move the camera and take the pulpit down there. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, Holy Ghost, thank you, Father. But anyway, that goes right along with our message anyway. But let's pray for a minute. We'll step into, he's already talking. Hallelujah. He's already talking because he has created you in his image. Man was originally created in the image of God. Genesis 1:26. Let's look at it a minute. Let's just go there. Hallelujah. We're going to flow today. Praise the Lord. It really doesn't matter what I have there. I write notes down, but sometimes I don't even preach them. But you don't even know that probably. Genesis chapter 1. Go to verse 26. What does it say? And God said, let us make man in our image, or in other words, we'd say his likeness, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish, over the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. See, God's given man dominion even over creeps. Praise the Lord. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him. Male and female created he them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. And what? Subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea. And over the fowl of the air. And over every living thing that moves upon the earth. Now we see that there. Here already, just in these three verses, he mentioned twice that you have dominion in the earth, that man has dominion. See, in the original Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were alive to God, spiritually alive. They had not died, but he said, what was the problem that took place in the garden? What happened? Man lost the very glory of God. And I've said this before many times. I don't think we really grasp the depths to which Adam fell. I mean, think about it. He has dominion over every single thing, the birds of the air, the fowl, everything. He walks with God in the cool of the day, right? God comes down, they take a walk together and talk things over. He's clothed with the very glory of God. And God only had one thing that he said. You can eat from every tree in this garden. But of the tree of the knowledge and good and evil, they're not supposed to eat. Amen. And so after God had formed man, he breathed into him that breath of life. And he became that living soul. He became God's companion. He became God's companion. However, we know what happened, don't we? In the Garden of Eden. Says that he had placed them there, and we know they weren't supposed to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He said, in that day you will, what? Surely die. No, what happened? They could have eaten of the tree of life, probably, and surely lived forever. But they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And apparently, the Bible does say that Adam was with Eve, and she partakes of that tree. Now, you know, I mean, we can say it's an apple if you want to be in the kindergarten class. We can do that. But it was somewhere she was deceived. The enemy came and deceived her into partaking of the fruit. You'll not surely die. Sin won't hurt you. See? No. He said, you will surely die. Where did they die? Did they die physically? I mean, Eve ate of the tree and she did not just, boom, she didn't fall over dead. Would you say, Adam, you want some? Okay, I'll try it too. Why? He was moved by what he saw. He saw her eat. And it didn't seem like what God said happened. Because they didn't die physically. But they died on the inside in their spiritual being, in their spiritual man. They died that day. Death entered them. From that day forward, they began to die. And eventually did die physically. A few hundred years later. Now, so it was a process. But that spiritual death took place just like that. They lost the glory of God that they were filled with. And their dominion was gone. They're no longer having dominion there because God kicked them out of the garden. He had to. Why? Because they may have eaten the tree of life and you and I are stuck here forever in this world, in this place of time. See, we're in time. Time's a created thing. And one day it's going to end and it's not too far off. Jesus is going to come. We'll all be done. Hallelujah. And he's going to rule forever right here on the earth. Amen. I mean, we may have the, you know. Anyway, we'll have a time, I'm sure. If the Jesus takes us from here and returns one way or another, ultimately we're going to end up back on what? The new heaven and the new earth. And the most important thing with that is Jesus is coming back in his physical kingdom onto the earth. Amen. In his second return, it's not going to be the lowly meek lamb. It's going to be the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Hallelujah. And he's going to come and he's going to roar and it's all going to be over. But I'm saying that so that we can understand. See, when you're born again, you're changed. Where? On the inside. We're restored to the same place that Adam and Eve had, minus our glorified body. Now you have one. It's on account. You just don't have possession of it yet. In a sense, you have possession because it's there. But in order to receive it, we got to leave the earth. So as long as we're here on this earth, we got to have a flesh body. Flesh, blood, bone, body. And this body is going to be here, you know, and we, the real us, our spiritual being, who we really are, has to become the one that takes dominion over your life. Let's look at Romans 5 for a minute. Hallelujah. Okay. Thank you, Lord. I thank you. Are you believing for utterance with me today? Amen. The utterance of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord. All right, let's go to Romans 5, verse 17. Well, let me see. Back up here a second. Let's just back up a little bit. Let's go ahead and start with 12. Back up to Romans 5, 12. Did you write that down, Joe? Romans 5, 12, right there. It says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Hallelujah. Now here we see where it's just sharing what happened, what I just talked about there in the garden. By that one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed what? To all men, for that all sin. Within the DNA of mankind, sin was passed to all. We can say, well, except for one man, that was Jesus, because he was what? Born of a virgin, as we've talked about this several times. But I'm bringing this about because I want us to understand who you are. You are a son of God. Amen? You're born of him. And we're going to see that. Well, let's go ahead and continue. It says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam. Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. So here we have the offense of what? Adam and Eve, which brought sin and brought death. And here we have what? Jesus, who is what? The last Adam, the second Adam, or the last Adam, we'll say. We know the Bible says he's the last Adam, or the next one, the one that came as our substitute to take our place, so what? We can be redeemed and we can be brought back to God, to be in the same position like Adam and Eve had in fellowship with our Father. We talked about the fellowship he had with God. They walked together. God said, hey, Adam, why don't you name the animals here? He called him whatever he desired. He gave Adam and Eve much more dominion than we realize. They had full dominion. And through Jesus Christ, you and I have full dominion in this earth. We can only exercise it through Him because He, what, became the substitute of man, right here. The offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. Verse 16, and not as it was by one, that sinned, so is the gift. Just as it was by one man that sinned and brought death, it's the same way with the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto what? Justification. In other words, you come to that place, what? Jesus justified mankind or brought us to that place. When we receive Jesus, we are justified. In other words, a lot of people say, well, just as if you've never sinned. It's Him taking the place of you and I. Our place was death. Sin causes what? Death. Jesus came as the living man, the only one alive to God on the earth. There was one candle lit, and that was Jesus. There was only one. He was the only one alive. The only one that was already alive to God when He was born. Why? Because it was the blood of God that birthed Him. He said, a body have I prepared for you. And it was the Holy Spirit that came on Mary, right? And He's the one that impregnated Mary. He said, I'm going to send the Redeemer. That's what He promised in Genesis 3:15. He will come. You're going to bruise His, He'll bruise His heel, but He's going to bruise your head. He's going to take you out. He's going to take this sin and death out of this world. And when you are born again, sin and death are ripped from your spirit, and the life of God moves in. The very life of God, the nature of God. Hallelujah. You are changed. You're not the same. You're no longer bound. You don't have to sin anymore. You are free from sin. Sin shall not have dominion over you. In other words, nobody. See, the real free people are those that are born again. If you're not born again, Bible says we are bound. You're bound in sin. You're dead in sin. In other words, he says, in other words, your spirit is not alive to God. That's what he's saying here. He's saying, hey, but under what grace? Amen. God came. Glory to God. Am I in the right? Yeah, I am. Verse 17. For if by one man's offense, which was what? Adam and Eve. By one man's offense, death reigned by one. Much more. Hallelujah. They which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Are you reigning in life today? I know we're pressing to bring the full reign of Jesus here on this earth. Amen. We do have opposition. We have our flesh. Of course, we have the enemy, the devil, who comes against us and tries to use our flesh against us. He really doesn't have anything else other than deception. If he can get you to believe a lie, he can deceive you. And that's really where most people are, where he tricks people into believing, just like he did Adam and Eve. You know, he's got mankind believing certain things. I mean, the devil, of course, he and his crowd, I mean, they believe they could take over. That's where we come down to Armageddon, doesn't it? We're coming down to that. We're coming to the end. It's going to happen, and I mean, I don't think it's going to be much of a war. I'm sorry, but when Jesus comes, it's going to be, well, okay, we're taking over. You know, and I mean, Anybody ever see in the old covenant one angel? One angel. How many do you slow? Remember? 100,000 men, one night. One night, 100,000 men. It's not going to be much of a war, I'm telling you. Hallelujah, because it's over. Jesus paid the price. He defeated the devil. For you and I, it's over too. We just have to enforce his defeat. We have to enforce the dominion that God has given us and to walk in the righteousness that he placed on the inside of us. See, you were born again in true righteousness and holiness, and it is working in you to push out everything that's not of God. It works in you. Ephesians 4:24. That we were born again. Let's look at that. Ephesians 4:24. We'll read it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If I'm not long today, I'm not going to apologize. You can't write it down. It's going in the annals of all the times Pastor Doe was short-winded. Verse 24, and it says, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created. That's you and I. Are you the new man? Are you that one that's been born again? Then here we go, right there. It says, you can put on that new man, allow him to have that authority, allow him to come forward. The man that who you are on the inside to come forward. Which after God is what created in righteousness and true holiness. Hallelujah. You can put on that new man. You can allow him, yourself, you on the inside. See, God lives in you. Your spirit's been changed. You're no longer bound by sin. You've been made a new creation. Amen. If any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, what? The old man passed away. The new man became, you know, the old has passed away and the new is, you become new. Sorry, let's look at that. I'm sorry. I'm really discouraged that I didn't quote that properly. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I'm not discouraged, but I'm going to get it right. I just want to get it right. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Hallelujah. Everything becomes new. Where? On the outside? No. I mean, if you didn't have, you had just, you know, just a little hair, you still ain't got a little hair, right? You didn't just suddenly grow a big wig up there. Amen. Except for maybe Joseph. He's got a lot of hair. But anyway. But he already had that, didn't you, Joe? Before you got saved. Amen. See, whatever you had physically, you still have. We don't immediately change physically, but in our spirit, we are changed. You're not the same person that you were before you received Jesus. You became, it says, a new species of being that didn't exist before. That's really what he's talking about. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man what? Be in Christ. Old things passed away. All things became new. What? From the inside out. So that means there's a little bit of work that's got to take place to get what's in here. See, we got to get it out here where it can help us. Amen. How many think God can help you? If he helps you, amen, how are you going to get out here where he can help you? I mean, you know, where it's in there, but we got to put, number one, we got to start putting it on. We've got to put on what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, right? These are who you already are. They're a part of who you are that's connected to the tree who is Jesus. He is the what? He is the vine or the trunk of that tree, and you are what? The branch, right? How many knows where the fruit grows? Does it grow on the trunk or does it grow on the branch? It grows on the branch, doesn't it? He is the vine and you are the branch. And when the branch stays connected to the vine, it begins to grow fruit. Now, how many know when I plant a fruit tree, the first year I don't get big fruit like that? I won't get a huge pear or a big apple, right? It's going to be a tree. But it still has every potential to grow and produce all the fruit I'll ever need. And that's what's on the inside of you, is the life of God. It lives there, and you have the potential of producing all the fruit that God gave in that human spirit. It's just like a baby. If you have a baby and he's born and he's 2 years old, if I have a 2-year-old here with me, and he's standing here with me, well, don't you have hands? Yes, he's got hands. Does he have arms? Yes, he does. Does he have legs? Yes, he does. Does he have a brain? Yes, he does. Here's the car key, son. Go get the car. It's not going to happen. Why? He is not mature to handle driving the car. So there has to be a process of maturity that takes place in you to fulfill all that God's called you to do, to come to the full place of maturity in Him. You see, He wants us to become sons and daughters of the living God who know Him. I mean, we don't want our 2-year-old here to grow up, and when he's 10 years old, we don't want to be changing his diaper anymore, do we? Amen. We'd say, there's something wrong with you. There's something wrong here. We better take him to the doctor and get him checked out and see what the problem is. Amen. We would, wouldn't we? Probably long before that. So we want to understand that by us, what? Fellowshipping with God, like Adam and Eve did in the garden every day. God came down the cool of the day and what? He fellowshipped with him. They exchanged what? Information. They began to talk to one another. And we call that prayer, don't we? Now, I'm sure in their prayer, it says they walked together. In other words, they communicated. Now, was Adam and Eve's communication with God exactly like ours? Probably on a little higher level, since they were clothed in the glory of God. Amen. And you and I, though, have now moved in to that very level where we can communicate with Him. However, we've got a problem, because we still have a flesh body. And sometimes we have fleshly thinking, or carnal thinking, we call that, right? Thinking that's not like God's fully. How many of you, who's here right now? You just get all the faith in the world. I know you got faith. You know, and we can move mountains, and we can move some things. And we are moving things. But how many here never? You just have no doubts whatsoever. None. Never. You never had a doubt. You prayed. And, you know, so I bring this 5-year-old child here. And he's stuck in a wheelchair, can't talk, can't hear, can't see. He just sits there. His mother and dad sit next to him. And I milk myself for all the faith I have, and he sits there. And then Jesus walks through the wall here, and he says, "Excuse me, son." And he walks over to this child in the wheelchair. And he says, "In my name, you know, get up." He just prays for that child, or lays hands on that child immediately. His eyes open, his tongue that was hanging out comes back into his mouth. And he says, "Oh, hi, Mommy and Daddy." It's See, there is a limit to our operation until we really get to know God, that will allow Him to come through us. See, He is limited by you and I, because God's not on the earth. Jesus isn't standing on this earth right now other than inside and inside of us, other than with us. He has no authority. It is going to take you and I walking with Him on a consistent basis in the cool of the day, in the time when we can spend with Him, crying out to Him, "Oh, Father, teach me. Teach me your ways. Teach me your will. Teach me how to walk in this dominion, Lord, that you have given to me, so that I can portray your Son in this earth and I can begin to show Jesus to this world." Now, we do to a certain limited degree, but how many know? If you can heal the sick, if you can see the blind eyes open, if we can have a section right over here. We got 20 blind people from the school today. Joseph, would you please go over and heal the blind? You know, pray for the blind, I should say. Jesus is doing the healing. Or they're there and all of a sudden nobody prayed for them and their eyes popped open. How many think there'd be a little excitement in the house? We'd hear 20 people said, "I can see, I can see, I can see, I can see, I can see." Can you hear it? I'm trying to get us to have a vision for revival, for what God calls revival, not what we call revival, what God calls revival. The kind of revival where the blind see first time, every time, where those that are bound by the enemy's power are set free just like that. You said, "Well, how do you know that sickness is of the enemy?" Because Jesus said, "I came," what? "To loose them, heal the sick, deliver them from that oppression of Satan, the oppression of the enemy." How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who are what? Oppressed, not of God, of the devil. In other words, He's able. Oppression, He's able to hold them under His thumb. That's what picture of oppression. Being able to control, being able to hold it over. Now see, we get some deliverance a lot of times and freedoms in our own lives, and we're still pressing and God's still moving. We get healing. You know, we know we can stand for healing. Amen. You can stand, we can believe, and we can receive a miracle for ourselves. See, but we're going to a place in God where it's possible not just for us, but for them as well. Now, it doesn't mean we're not going to pray for the sick. If somebody comes, we will. But we want to see those things manifest. Where are they manifest? In His presence. And when through you and I, when we know Him. Daniel 11:32. What does Daniel 11:32 say? Anybody know? It says, "They that know their God." Hallelujah. Let me read it, because it says a little bit more than that, I think. "They'll do exploits." Amen. Okay. Genesis, Exodus. Okay, hold on. I got to get Dan. There we go. Daniel 11:32. Let me say it correctly. It says, "And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupt by flatteries. But," here we go, "the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." Shall be strong and do exploits. Now, if you want to know God, we're going to have to spend some time communicating with Him. And primarily, our communication, as we've talked about many times here, Jude 20, "But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves," what? "In the love of God." Now, we've been talking about the love of God for a few weeks already. But we're looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who that eternal life, where the life of God that's in us comes forward to such a degree that what? Nothing shall be impossible unto us. We just finished this short fast. Praise the Lord. We're not bragging. We're not trying to say, hey, we're somebody. We're trying to say the whole point is we needed to. So what? We can deal with some of these things. One of the purposes of fasting we learned is what? To eradicate that doubt and unbelief. And to allow our spirit man to rise up as we pray and seek God and spend time in prayer. And we fast, our fleshly man being declared dead, Romans 8:10, we enforce the death of this natural man and bring forth that life on the inside of us, amen, to continue to rise forward and to continue to allow the Holy Spirit to teach us, to guide us, to lead us into all truth. Until what? Not some things are possible. We're getting some miracles. We've had some cancers here. We've had some other things happen. But I did not see, when I came to church this morning, I didn't see any ambulances parked out front, sister. I didn't see any. I didn't see them laying people on the sidewalk out here so that when I came from my house, my shadow might hit them or anybody else's shadow. I love all of you, and God loves you unconditionally. He's forgiven you. And you need to know that He believes in you and I believe in you. You are valuable. We need you. God needs you. He has put His entire kingdom believing in you. See, if God had a handicap, that would be it. He loves man too much. If He had one. Well, praise God. He's got a plan. Amen. And how many are pressing in? I remember, I think it was this morning, one of the guys, he says, I see. You know, we were just kind of talking about some things there in Nehemiah even, and I mentioned, you know, that he began to move into intercession, into prayer, because he saw the need of God to bring Jerusalem back to its original state. And how many know the church at large is not where God wants it to be? And even our church, we're still pressing, amen. We're still expecting. But I can guarantee you this one thing. There's one thing for every revival. They did not quit. They continue to pray. They continue to fast. They continue to seek God. They continue to pray in the Holy Ghost, allowing the fire of God, the ability of God on the inside of them to begin to come forward until God could do what He desired to do. Amen. And of course, number one, He wants to save the lost. I mean, we're talking about miracles, but I mean, of course, that's our first call, is to be what? A witness for Jesus. Amen. To be a reconciler of those that are about us to come to Christ. But how many know? The more we pray, the more of Him rubs off on the inside of us and comes through us, and we begin to change, and we begin to see the glory of God begin to build on the inside of us, and the Holy Spirit begins to speak to us, and sometimes at first it's not what we want to hear. I want you to stop drinking coffee. What? What has that got to do? And I'm not, nothing wrong with drinking coffee. I drink coffee. If God told me, I'd have to stop, but He hasn't spoke to me about that. Praise the Lord. I don't drink that much. I really don't. I'm not really addicted to it. I don't have to have it, but I like it occasionally. Most days. I like a cup in the morning anyway. But He knows that, and I know that. A lot of us like the way, you know, that caffeine helps you. But there's some good things in coffee, too, if you don't put a lot of sugar in it. So sugar is what the problem is. So, but anyway, did you hear that? Somebody out there heard that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, sugar is more the problem. If He tells you about that, then you're going to have to deal with that yourself. How many know? I mean, God's not against us. He made all things legal. You can eat whatever you want. I mean, you can go out and eat a squirrel if you want to. You know, some things, well, I don't know. It might be illegal to kill them, at least in the city. I don't know. They might be a protected species. I'm not sure. But anyway, we can eat whatever. But how many know? I mean, if you eat anything too much, it can be bad for you. Amen. Even good things. You know, I mean, if you just down a whole bottle of vitamins, it could actually wreak havoc in your body. You know, it probably would. And you'd probably be at least sick to your stomach and maybe cause more sickness. You know, even though vitamins, how many old vitamins are good for us, right? But if you eat all of them at once or you take too much of anything, even a good thing. Now, not God. There's not too much of God. He's good. But they can harm you. And so that's where we have to realize the Holy Spirit's going to teach us how to operate specifically and bring health and healing to people. Sometimes when they came to Jesus, he had to share some things with them. He talked to them first. How many know that? Not everyone was just boom, you know, he talked to them. But brought him to that faith. How many remember when Jairus came to Jesus? And he was said, hey, my daughter is sick. Will you come and heal her? Yeah, I'll go. And then what happened? He got sidetracked. The woman with the issue of blood comes by. So, you know, and meanwhile, they came. Here comes the servants saying, hey, don't worry about it, Jesus. She died. And Jesus turned him and said, only believe. Sometimes we need to bring faith into people when it looks like they can't stand any longer, when it looks like it's sudden death. But you and I have dominion and we have the ability to bring the life of God into any situation to cause what? Change. You are the one that sets the atmosphere. You're his son. You carry his presence. You're the one that carries his glory. Now, you're a reservoir of that, but how many know? It can build on the inside of you. If it can't, then why would he have said building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost? If you can't build that strength on the inside of you, if you can't build on what he's already placed on the inside of you, if it can't grow, then he wouldn't have wasted, God didn't waste his words. The Holy Ghost wouldn't have said praying in other tongues will strengthen you. It will build you up. It will begin to cause you to become strong in the Lord. The more you pray, the stronger you're going to get. Why? Because he is the power of God that's in this earth today. Jesus said, I'm leaving another comforter who will be with you forever. He's the one that works with us now. Right here on this earth. He works in us. For us, through us. Amen. And he's our teacher and our guide. He teaches us the truth of this word. He's the one that brings it alive. He's the one that causes those truths to come off those pages to you and brings that revelation where you understand it. And then it becomes what? Reality in our life. So we're not the same. We're not old sinners saved by grace. We are sons and saints of the living God. Amen. And we're going to continue to pursue him. We're going to keep walking with him. We're going to keep fellowshipping. Amen. Hand in hand with our Father. Every day. Father, I love you. Father, I worship you. Oh, I glorify you. It's so good. I'm so thankful you saved. Oh, hallelujah. And then we'll just begin to pray in other tongues. Now, I'm not praying to be interpreted right now, but that's just what we do. We lift our voice, and he loves to hear it. And when we begin to pray in other tongues, that begins a communication with our Father. We step into the classroom of the Holy Spirit, and we allow him to help us to take our dominion. Amen? And bring all things to the glory of God. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you, Father God, that we are sons and daughters of the living King. And we have the ability to fellowship with you as never before. That we're restored to the same place Adam once lost. That you came and you destroyed sin, Lord. And you said there's no condemnation for us, Lord, because we were made and be brought into Christ Jesus. Oh, we're so grateful for saving us, Lord, for adopting us into your family, for making us your very sons and daughters. Oh, we want to become mature in you, Lord. We want to become mature sons and daughters where all things are possible. And that, Lord, you can use us any way you so desire. Lord, to where there may be 1,000 children in the room. But Lord, because you've taught us to grow up, to be saints of the living God, to have integrity, to have love, to have patience, to have the kindness of God, the goodness of God flowing in us, Lord, to be strong and stable in you, Lord, that, Lord, you'll be able to call on us with one touch, Father. You'll be able to change circumstance. Oh, Father, we so want to walk with you more fully, more completely, Lord. Lord, may we continue to surrender our heart to you. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, we love you. We give you the glory. We thank you for your word today. May we take it to heart. Spend that fellowship with you in Jesus' name. See, the fellowship in the Holy Spirit, praying in other tongues, it's going to ultimately help you to overcome every limitation of this flesh. We are limited in this flesh man, but we have the Holy Spirit. He knows the purpose and plans of God. And he knows how to take you from wherever you are to where he wants you to be. If you're way off here or way out there, or if you're right on there, or maybe you're just a hair off, he knows how to get you right on perfectly in line with God.